Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Capri Global Capital Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravikant. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Capri Global's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. I will quickly read out a disclaimer before we start with the opening remarks by our Managing Director. This conference call and the discussion herein is for information purposes only and does not constitute any offer or invitation, directly or indirectly in any manner, or inducement to sell or issue or any solicitation of any offer to purchase or subscribe for any securities of the company in any jurisdiction, and no part of it shall form the basis of or be relied upon in connection with any contract or commitment whatsoever. No offering of securities of the company will be made except by means of a statutory offering document containing detailed information about the company. This earnings call should not be considered as a recommendation that any investor should subscribe for or purchase any securities of the company or its subsidiary, collectively the group, and should not be used as a basis for any investment decision. None of the group or any of its affiliates, advisors, or representatives accept any liability whatsoever for any loss howsoever arising or from any information presented or discussed on this call. The detailed updated disclaimer is available on slide numbers two and three of our Q1 FY23 investor presentation. With this, I will now hand over the call to our Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Sharma, to present his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Ravi. Good afternoon, friends, and a hearty welcome to Capri Global's Q1 FY23 earnings call. We announced our reviewed consolidated results for Q1 FY23 yesterday evening. I hope you had an opportunity to go through our investor deck. Our results discussion this time happens in the backdrop of filing for our rights issue. You may recall our board had approved 1,200 crore rupees rights issue when it met to approve the FY22 audited results. We took the first step towards the same by filing a draft letter of offer with SEBI on 28th July 2022. The same has been placed by SEBI in public domain on its website. Given this backdrop, there are certain restrictions on forward-looking statements and guidance that we can make. I'm aware we had set out certain goals for FY23 and the medium term in our previous earnings call. I would like to state that we are fully committed to a sustainable and profitable growth. As a rule, we shall refrain from giving any guidance on medium-term strategy and shall restrict this discussion to analyzing our results. Please note we have made changes to how we report certain performance ratios. This has been done to align with the requirement of the rights issue disclosures in our offer letter filed with SEBI. Such changes have been highlighted at the relevant place in the investor presentation in the footnote. I shall now discuss our earnings performance during Q1 FY23. We reported a consolidated net profit after tax of rupees 461 million, which is a flat year-on-year and higher 10% over Q4 FY22 net profit. Although our net income declined 12% quarter-on-quarter, a softer increase in operating expenses and a sharp 57% fall in credit costs helped us post a sequentially slightly better profit. Adjusted for rupees 77.5 million one-off income in Q4 FY22, our NI is flat QoQ. The one-off gain in Q4 FY22 was relating to the upfront recognition of unamortized fees on foreclosed accounts. Secondly, we have begun incurring costs on our gold loan business while the business is yet to commence operation. We have already onboarded the entire team of about 1, 1,000 people there. We incurred about 69 million overall operating costs in gold loan business in Q1 FY22. Adjusting for same, our OpEx would have actually declined 3% quarter-on-quarter. Both these items negatively impacted operating profit by 147 million in Q1 FY23. Our net interest income was also impacted by negative carry as we drew down all new sanction facilities in April 2022 to the first week of July 2022. This is seen in the bank balances in the balance sheet, which were heavier by 40% or rupees 1.4 billion in Q1 FY23 over Q4 FY22. Since we have drawn our new sanctions, our MCLR is locked for 6 months to 1 year. Our net interest margin computed as a ratio of average net advances was 8.4%, lowest in trailing five quarters and reflected the weaker net interest income. We have begun resetting yields on new as well as existing loans, and it could have a positive rub-off on earnings going ahead. Approximately 55% of our loan book comprises floating rate advances, and the remaining comprises semi-fixed loans that convert to floating rates after an initial period of fixed rates. Our cost-income ratio was 51.1% in Q1 FY23, adjusting for the operating cost of gold loan vertical, which is yet to come in contributing to AUM. The cost-income ratio compresses 400 basis to 47.1%. With NIM already on recent quarter lows and gold loan AUM yet to become meaningful, we believe there is a higher probability of the cost-income ratio improving than worsening from current levels. It may also be noted that our earlier cost-income ratio target of 40% was set prior to the launch of our gold loan business. As of now, we don't have a specific target on cost-income ratio. To reiterate, we firmly believe a strong branch network is central to our business. Therefore, we shall continue to roll out branches in the traditional as well as the gold loan business. We have continued with the write-off in Q1 FY23. While we had expected the write-off to taper off post Q4 FY23, we felt it is necessary to continue proactive provisioning and writing off in Q1 FY23 as well. However, the credit cost per se has declined by 57% Q1Q to Rs. 246 million and is among the lowest in trailing five quarters. We are looking at the credit cost in aggregate irrespective of whether it is a write-off or a sale provision. Currently, our stance is to ensure we provide more than adequately. This could be in the form of ECL provisions or, if necessary, a write-off. We expect write-off to recur in the remainder of FY23. Our asset quality declined after showing steady improvement between Q2 FY22 and Q4 FY22. The stage 3 assets in absolute as well as the percentage terms have increased, primarily driven by the retail segment. The wholesale segment continues to perform well and GNP remains close to them. The consolidated stage 3 assets were 2.71%, up 31 basis quarter on quarter. In absolute terms, GNP increased 18% quarter on quarter. Detailed trend and discussion on the NP ratio is given in the slide 23 and 24. Our standard restructured assets at ₹1,776 million were 2.6% of the AUM. We have maintained we expect 20 to 25% of restructured assets to slip. On the outstanding assets, around 50% shall be out of moratorium period in Q3 FY23 and the rest equally in Q4 FY23 and Q1 FY24. Currently, standard restructured assets are classified under stage 2. The November 21 RBI circular on asset quality becomes effective from Q2 FY23 onwards. However, if you were to adopt the circular in Q1 FY23, our GNP would have been higher by Rs. 145 million and would have added another 21 basis to our staging ratio. Coming to the business, although it was a slower quarter, we did maintain a healthy momentum. The year-on-year comparison may not be accurate due to the near standstill we had in the business during the COVID second wave. However, on a sequential basis, we have expanded our overall AUM by 5%. Although we are yet to launch our dedicated IT setup for co-lending, the arrangement has already picked up pace and outstanding co-lending portfolio growing 72% quarter on quarter to Rs. 2 billion. Housing finance too showed a healthy trend increasing 7.8% quarter on quarter. MSME including co-lending was up by 2.6% quarter on quarter. We remain convinced of the strong growth opportunity afforded by MSME segment given its substantial 30% plus contribution to GDP. Similarly, affordable housing as well, we have said in the past, will remain a key driver for our consolidated AUM. An occasional weak quarter only reinforces our will to focus on growth in these segments. We are gearing up for formally launching our gold loan business. Currently, we have done a soft launch and are testing the systems and processes. We have already leased 52 premises at exclusive gold loan branches. We have budgeted rupees 560 million is capex for the vertical for FY23. Our car loan distribution business continues to grow from strength to strength, surpassing previous quarter origination milestone. The vertical achieved rupees 11 billion in new car loan originations and contributed rupees 186 million in the net fee. To offer you perspective, the vertical contributed rupees 276 million in net fees in the entire FY22. This is an entirely new income stream that has come up in a year in the form of pure fees and is therefore no subject to any regulatory capital requirement. This diversifies and strengthens our earning profile. I am also happy to share that both CARE Rating and BICWAR have reaffirmed our long-term issuer rating. CARE has reaffirmed our A+ rating and BICWAR has reaffirmed our AA- rating. Further, both have upgraded the outlook from negative to stable. With this as an affirmation of our strong balance sheet, our consistent and conservative ALM management practices and robust capital ratio. We reported a capital adequacy ratio of 29.9% for CGCL and 39.5% for CGHFL. Since we already filed offer letter to raise 12 billion through a rights issue, we have mentioned in the offer letter that the object of the capital raise is to augment the long-term core equity capital of the company. Our fast-paced growth in the last 1 year has led to a consumption of about 758 basis in the capital usage of CGCL. Hence, the right issue has been time to support our group. I would also like to clarify that we are open to exploring inorganic opportunities, but that is something we don't talk about and only internally evaluate. Last but not the least, I cannot conclude without highlighting our work toward digital initiative, some of which we continue to share in our corporate presentation. We have in-house coding team of 20 and additional support staff with 39 in the tech team. Our business is evolving very well in the retail segment, and our IT initiative shall further add to strengthening our business. With that, I would conclude my opening remarks. We shall now take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Prashant Kumar from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And my question is on operating expense side, as it is continue to remain elevated. And is it because of the branch expansion and just like you were entering into the new segment gold loan, so a specific branch may be required. So could you give some color on this?
So one is that our gold loan vertical, where we already onboarded about 1,000 people and about roughly 7 crore rupees expenses we incurred in the Q1. That is the one reason that which has not contributed to any earning on the EU, but the expenses have been booked. So rather than capitalizing, we are booking these expenses in profit and loss expenses account. Second is that there was 26 new branches we opened in MSME also. So the branches take some time to get to break even and start becoming profitable. So that is another reason that our cost income ratio is slightly higher. But AUM growth returning to in the rest of the quarter, we believe that this should remain now at these levels, hopefully.
So, sir, if I think like this is like one-off type of operating expenses, so when it will normalize, especially on the fixed expenses, right? I mean, on this yearly basis, when it is going to be normalized?
So, I think entire year, our gold loan branches will keep opening. We intend to open about 200 branches this year, as we were told earlier in the last earning call. So, these expenses will remain elevated during this year. because of the gold loan. Gold loan vertical will not contribute because of the expansion. As we have told earlier, we intend to open 1,500 branches in 3 years time. So first year, we have estimated about 53 crore rupees of cost on gold vertical on the capex. So there will be little contribution on the income side. So cost income ratio will remain elevated during the entire year. It may not increase from this level, but it will remain at around this level.
Okay. I mean, the cost will be increased, and the latter part, income will, the realization on the income will be later. Okay. And
yes,
on the asset quality side, it is also increasing sequentially, but other like the financial segment, most of the, especially on the bank side, they have the asset quality improves at least sequentially, and MSME also getting traction. So recovery is also improving. So what is the color, if you can give some on this?
So if you see our NPA, in fact, were declining until Q4 FY22 in both absolute and percentage terms. So this is the first quarter of increase after 3 straight quarter of decline. While I will not comment about whether peers who have earlier have done the huge write-offs and all, I would like to reiterate, we run a fully secured business. Our business is not anything unsecured, whether it is MSME, whether it is home loan, that is having a collateral security of hard collateral by way of property. And recovery procedure through SARFAESI takes about 18 months to 24 months time, and as recovery process gets underway, it will also have positive effect on the overall NPA as well as the P&L. We shall also proactively look at problem accounts to either provide higher or harsher recovery process. Around 3/4 of our standard restructured book of ₹1,776 million to come out of the moratorium this year, and the remaining in FY24. Currently, our provision coverage on restructured assets is about 21%, reflecting our loss expectation from the book. If needed, we shall provide higher. So, and our collection efficiency has been improved to about 98% plus since last 3 quarters, is also add to some comfort. So, even though we provide the write-off, that is not a credit loss. The reason being, there are collateral and there is a process to recover. So, in another 18 months, whatever write-offs are happening, they will start showing up the recovery, and they start showing the positive impact in the P&L as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it for my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shweta from Elara. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So if I look at your CF as a percentage of overall AUM composition, then has it increased? It has definitely increased over past 1 year. Sizably. So is it by design or is it by demand? That's question number one. Question number two is, so you had a recent ratings, outlook upgraded from negative to stable, right? So how much, so does it give any benefit on the cost of funds front? If yes, by how many bits? And third is, so I was looking at your segmental disbursal momentum. So definitely quarter-on-quarter basis, that has slipped. So is it because of the seasonality element, or how is it like? And what is your guidance on overall growth outlook? Yeah, these are my three questions.
So our growth last year, we grew about 37%, and that is the result of course, there is increase in the demand, and there is enough demand in MSME in affordable housing segment. There is a large opportunity for everyone. And that is the reason on the back of this demand, we are expanding the branch network also. So to cater this demand, I think we are seeing our growth, our expansion, and resultant AUM growth. In regards to your question on the rating upgrade to positive, whether it is showing some decrease in the cost of funds, It is a basically step for the next rating upgrade because they are seeing the positive trend in the company's performance and stability and everything else. However, cost of fund has not come down because of this, because at the moment we are seeing the rising interest trend and so there is no cost of fund has come down. And if is that disbursement guidance, as you stated earlier, that will continue to grow between 22 to 27%. We maintain the same, and that growth momentum we hope to achieve.
So on the CF front, the composition as a percentage of overall AUMs have actually gone up sizably.
So overall, CF composition in one quarter might have gone up slightly, but overall basis, it will remain in the overall range of 20% at consolidated basis.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Jay from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question, I have two set of questions. First is, how do you see the impact of banks aggressively lending to retail and MSME segments? Would it impact margins and pricing for the NBFCs? And second question is, also, do you see fintech challenging you in the housing and gold loan segments?
So, the very reason the banks have entered into co-lending arrangement with the NBFCs, including with the Capri, that the NBFC and Capri cater to the segment which banks do not cater. So that is the reason co-lending partnerships are getting promoted by RBI and by the banks. So this entire different segment to which bank cater to and which NBFC cater to. So if bank is increasing their retail, will not going to impact in a larger way NBFC. So because we cater to entirely different segment where customer are smaller, unorganized and do not possess adequate income proof and paperwork. Yeah, your second question was?
And my, yes, sir. And my second question was, do you see fintech challenging you in the housing and gold loan segment?
So I think scenario is emerging that fintechs are going to become originator. They still do not have that balance sheet. So fintech may become the origination partner in some sense, in some point of time. But in no way fintechs are going to become a large lender in these segments. So far in gold loan, we have seen the fintechs are only originating. We are not sure whether we can do the large volumes or not. We are going in a big motor model. We are going to open the branch network exclusive to the gold loan branch network this year, 200 and overall in 3 years. We intend to do about 1500 AGS ticket earlier. And we think there is enough business. Fintech do not have the balance sheet, so they are not going to be competing as in any case. They may become a collaborator with us, but not a competitor.
Okay, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Gautam Gosar from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So I have two questions. Firstly, in terms of disbursements for this quarter, we have disbursed majorly towards the construction finance and indirect lending. So while we were focused more on MSME and housing finance. So why this shift is my first question. And secondly, on the product mix. So would you focus more on the gold loans going forward? And would it be a significant part of the overall product mix, given that it's a high ROE business with better margins? And how would you be competing with the existing players, both banks and NBFCs? Yeah.
Whether we have reduced our focus on the home loan or MSME, answer is no. Our home loan have seen a growth of about 7.8%, and our MSME have been relatively has seen no growth, because there were a lot of foreclosure we have seen. Thereby it means that account underwritten by us have been taken over by some other lender at much lower rate of interest, which speaks about our good underwriting standard. However, this MSME, we should be come back to the growth from the next quarter. In any case, the first quarter always remain a slightly muted kind of a quarter. And construction finance is grown about 11%. But overall, if you see construction finance portfolio is about 6,900 crore, is about 1,400 crore. So it is remain in the 20% overall range, and that is what it is. Our key growth driver in going forward is going to remain MSME and home loan. If you talk about gold loan, in next 5 years, it may have about 25% of AUM of overall basis. And that is what the target is.
Okay, 25%. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Reminding all the participants to press star and one on their touchtone telephone to ask a question. We take the next question from the line of Ritu Khanna from Growth Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. A question regarding the growth in incremental yield, and with more rate hikes, this will go up as well. So how much rate do you think the industry and the customers can take without impacting the growth?
Can you repeat the question, madam? Your voice is a little breaking.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, so with the growth in our incremental yield and with more rate hikes, this will go up as well. So how much more rate hikes do you think the industry and the customers can take without impacting the growth?
So as far as our customers are concerned, which are MSME affordable housing side, which are basically small, and then loan ticket size is between, average ticket size is 17 lakh in MSME, about 12 lakh in home loan. These are the customers who are more interested to give the timely fund than 1% or 0.5% here and there. So I do not think that increase in the rate of interest is going to impact the demand in any case. In any case, these smaller business models of MSME, and these home loan borrowers run on return on efforts rather than return on equity. So this availability of funds is more critical to them. And whatever interest rate hike we have seen in past, I think more or less interest rate scenario is stabilized. At the most, maybe 25 basis another hike may happen. I am not very sure about it, but we shall be able to pass on at least all the floating rate customers, the entire rate high. Going forward, already our interest rate card has changed for this. So new loans are booked, maintaining our same net interest margins. It is going to impact us in some way for the only cases where loan has been given on a semi-fixed basis. But that is a cycle we see when the interest rate going down. Those loans are not reducing any rate. When interest are going up, those loans are not given any high. So that is a very balancing factor in the long term.
Got it. And how have we done under co-lending, both in MSME and housing finance? And any plans of tying up with private banks as well?
So we have seen that rate of interest advantage lies with the PSU bank. They are able to offer a very attractive rate of interest. And we have tied up with the largest bank of the country, which is SBI, and then Union Bank. Both banks have given attractive terms. And the first quarter, we have disbursed about 2 billion rupees under co-lending. And as we have told earlier, we'll continue to do this about 600 billion rupees in entire year. That is our targetage. So co-lending will give us a good ROE, about 25% kind of ROE in this co-lending arrangements of the account, because we have to provide very less capital to it.
Okay, got it. And what will be the total amount of top-up loans disbursed during this quarter? And what amount of the loans disbursed to the existing customers versus the new customers in this quarter?
Oh, this detail may not be available at the moment. If you can write an email to us, we can give it to you.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for taking my questions. That's all from my end.
Thank you, ma'am. By reminding all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Sharma for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Sudha. So, as we have said, we have continued to remain in the retail lending side. Our 80% portfolio is going to remain secured retail lending, and on that path, we'll continue to grow, and we see MSME, affordable housing, and gold loan, all these segments where we are in are a huge opportunity. There's a huge gap exists. So next 5 years looks a big runway for us, and we are quite confident of good times ahead. Our fee, the car loan origination is generating very good fee income for us, and that will be a ROE accretive. Overall, we are quite confident that yes, we are on a growth path, and that is the reason we have decided to bring rights issue where promoters have 75% stake, and we'll be committing this kind of a capital. The right issue size is about 1200 crore rupees, and that will take care of our future next 5 years growth requirements. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.